The Challenge of Space.
Our nearest star system, the men who make the journey must be kept in suspended animation, their life processes slowed down almost to zero, to the borderline between life and death itself. Already we can almost maintain this state with low temperature control, but perhaps one day a chemical substance will be developed which can achieve the same results, an eternity drug which will place the world's first star travelers, Pelham, Endicott, and Williams, in that unconscious limbo of mind and body for their epic journey.
Hey, lads, get your sleeves rolled up.
But, Chief, you know I faint at the sight of a needle.
500 years in easy stages, this guy's going to be snoring his head off in the sack, and already he's bucking for extra sleep.
Yeah, now listen, I've staged the doses. Joe, you'll be first awake. Somewhere between 50 and 55 years out. Now, when you do, watch the chronometer above your bunk like a hawk. Under no circumstances move until 3 hours have elapsed. You understand?
Sure, John.
You'll then make your way to the main control room, carry out the instructions detailed for you on the clipboard bearing your name.
Check.
And you'll find the succeeding doses of your eternity drug inside your locker. Select the right one and dose yourself. Now, the doses are staggered so that we'll awaken in sequence once every 50 years.
Oh, why the insistence upon no motion out of us until the massagers have finished their work, John?
Oh, well, think of it, Peter. Think of it. 50 years. And in your case, the second man to wake, a full century will have elapsed before you come to. Your whole system is going to need rather a lot of adjustment.
Now, there's a masterly understatement.
Pulse. Respiration, blood flow, all reduced to a virtual standstill, and then speeded up again slowly as the drug wears off. Now, if you make an inadvertent move, the shock will certainly kill you on the spot.
That's a nice prospect. I wonder if...
Starship Far Centaurus. Starship Far Centaurus, your final warning. Liftoff minus 60 seconds and counting. Call pre-takeoff checks.
Call pre-takeoff. Standing by.
Seal reservoirs.
Seal reservoirs.
Disconnect top-up lines and shoreside power circuits when ready.
Green light on the board. Clean seal on the reservoirs. Disconnecting all externals.
Roger. Visual check shows all externals clear.
Roger.
Gantry disconnect. Gantry rolling. Report green gantry light.
Will do. Gantry light now amber.
Roger.
Gantry light green.
Report your board.
All green lights on the board. Starship ready for liftoff.
Crew to couches for liftoff.
Crew positioned. Standing by.
Starship Far Centaurus liftoff in 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff. Far Centaurus, this is Earthside Control. Liftoff plus 30 seconds. Clean lift, no hitches. Radar surveillance shows tracking on correct computed trajectory.
Earthside, this is Far Centaurus. All readings show green lights. Ships running sweet and clean. So long, Earth. From all of us. We'll
never forget you. Can you still see it astern, Peter?
Yeah, just make it out. I've lost the moon, but Earth is still there. Well, it's dimming now. Still lovely, though, blue and green. It'll be a memory to hold.
40 hours. We'll be sleeping soon, all of us. When we wake up, the sun will only be a tiny dust mote, just like Earth is now.
Yeah, I know, John. And Earth will have gone on without us.
Ooh, Joe. Hmm? Joe, what's the matter?
Oh, must be those green apples I ate. Or maybe I just stood up too quick. No, I got all dizzy. Thought I was going to flake out on you.
It's not the green apples, Joe.
Now, you head for your bunk, Joe. That's right.
The drug, huh? That figures. I'm the first one to wake. Got an early call. Well, I should be the first to hit the sack. Sleep well, you guys.
Now, you remember the rules, Joe. Because our sleep is staggered, we won't be awake at the same time again until we reach the Centauri system. You'll meet them in 500 Earth years.
I got you, Skipper. I'll remember to set my alarm clock.
I waken with a start. At first, I thought the Eternity drug. It hasn't worked. I was sure of it. The tiny cabin was exactly as I'd seen it only minutes before. The vibromassages whispered and moved over my body. And I could hear the murmur of the atomics deep inside the hull, driving the far Centaurus on through the unending night of space. I moved my head sharply. Instantly, a black wave of indescribable nausea swept over me. My senses reeled. My head pounded miserably. And then there was nothing but the deep, cool, merciful blackness for a while. A retentive memory sustained me on my second awakening. I didn't make that mistake twice. I moved nothing except my eyes. The massagers whispered on, restoring the life and the flow to my body. And while they did do, I looked at the chronometer on the bulkhead. It read, 54 years, 7 months, 1 week, 3 days. I didn't bother with the hours, the minutes, and the seconds. I was already sufficiently impressed. Under the massagers, I felt the life flowing back in me. And for the longest time, it was sheer agony. But then, after a while, it became a normal, healthy glow, and I was able to think. I wept then, as men do, for all that might have been and never was. And then when I got over my crying jag, I went about my duties. Atomics, all checkout, 100% down. Fuel contents, enough to cross the galaxy, let alone the short haul to nearby neighborly Centaurus. See, air, a little high on oxygen content. At least it is, if I still know how to take a reading after all this time. Better just readjust the ultraviolet output in the hydroponics tanks. Good, I'll do that. Now, supreme test. Check the other cabins and see if I've got two buddies or if I'm alone on this old scow with a couple of deep space funerals to perform. We're both sleeping like babies. Oh, then I'm not alone. Great feeling. Yeah. Okay, that's it. Everything checks out. Time to sleep again. Just fill in the ship's log and dose myself. Hope I don't chicken out giving myself the needle. But first, just one thing. Even if the book doesn't say anything about it, I'm sure there's no harm. I set the grid, checked the star chart reference, and finally found the sun in the rear teleplates. It was a brilliant orange blaze, far, impossibly far astern. Our life-giving sun, home, was just another star in a universe that offered me a million of them on every plate I looked into. And up ahead, Centaurus. Brighter than I'd seen it before. Great blazing alpha, the blue-white dwarf. Beta, the red giant that made the binary system complete. Proxima, the nearest, and yet the dimmest. A dull red glow on the line of the ecliptic. And then I wanted to sleep and to forget. Next time I woke, a lot more time would have passed. Perhaps it wouldn't be so bad then. The ship is in excellent condition, with all drive units functioning at peak efficiency. A footnote to John and Peter. The grid is set. Look astern and weep. I did. Sweet dreams, Joe. Second awakening, the starship's alarm bells were ringing frantically. Fortunately for my metabolism, my subconscious had preserved memory patterns of the previous awakening. Although it took all of my willpower to lie quiescent while the massagers did their work over the hours, I managed it. I lay there, feeling the pain of life flow back into me for the second time, while the hideous cacophony of the alarms shrilled through the ship. Then, slowly, actually admiring my own self-control, I opened my eyes and stared at the chronometer. It read 201 years, 2 months, 3 weeks, 1 day. As before, there were hours and minutes and seconds too, but these I ignored, like the small change on the counter when you've just cashed a $1,000 check. Finally, the massages released me and I went to the view screens, tripping off the alarm system as I passed in the passage to the control room. The passage that contained the blank, featureless doors of two other cabins, wherein my companion slept through the centuries. And at the teleplates, I saw a ship. A starship. Enormous. Why, according to the grid, she must be more than a mile long. And ablaze from end to end. Hanging there in space, consumed by the blue-white fury of her own reaction motors. But what ship? And from where? She's on our very path. On the space liner between the Sol and Centauri systems. Was she crossing, or was her route the same as ours? Nothing that can be done. Anything that lived in that ship has long since been consumed. And already, drifting astern, dimming, a glowing spark along the trail. But why did she burn? Are we in some way responsible for that blazing pyre? The sadness still moved within me, deep, enhanced by the terrible sight of the dead, blazing starship. I went through my duties slowly, checking everything and finding it good. There were notes in the log from John and Peter. One dated 97 years previously. The other, 51.
The age of miracles is not past. You actually got up without oversleeping. Oh, incidentally, your hydroponics treatment killed the spinach and celery plants. Now we're reduced to cabbage and lettuce in the green vegetable department. A gardener you are not, Monkhead. In recognition of this achievement, I suggest that you buy dinner the first night ashore in Centaurus.
You got yourself a date, Peter. You better remember your ulcer and your bland diet, though. Steamed fish for you, old buddy. Now, what's this from John?
Well done, Joe. Everything good. And it was for you, as the first wakener, to prove the validity of our experiment. The eternity drug works. And because of this, we know that we'll be the first men to reach another stellar system. Our reunion is something of which I'll think before I go under again at the end of this tour of duty. I've left a note for Peter on his next awakening, up around the 250-year mark. Now, there's a discernible side effect from the drug that perturbs me. Any unusual mental strain seems to bring about a certain imbalance. Watch for this. And above all, no matter what happens, try to keep cool. It could spell the difference between sanity and waving lunacy. Sorry about it, but we're fallible. And we must cope with the unexpected when it shows itself to us. Well, until our next time, yours ever, John.
Dear old brilliant skipper. The brains behind it all. And the mother hen who keeps us together and shepherds us safely to the stars. Thanks for the tip, John. I'll watch it. And you, Mr. Sensitive, you watch it too. I must have misjudged the next dose I gave myself. I overslept. When I came out of the darkness with a hangover like a drumbeat in my frontal region, the chronometer read 502 years, 11 months, 3 weeks, 0 days. And Peter Endicott was standing by my couch, looking the same as he had over 5 centuries before, the night we had lifted off from Earth.
Welcome back, Sleepyhead. Looks like you goofed a little that time. Now lie there and don't say a word. Not until the restorative treatment is finished. Just listen. Listen carefully to what I have to tell you and keep cool. We're here, Joe. We're less than 4 weeks out from Proxima Centauri. There are 19 planets in the system. 3 of them are inhabited. Now I'll fill you in on the details of that in a little while. But first, and for us, most important... John is mad, Joe. A stark, raving, slobbering lunatic. I am under restraint and sedation in this cabin. There was nothing else I could do, you see. No, don't try to talk. You're not ready yet. You'll have the whole picture in a minute. Oh, I suspected something had gone wrong with John when I read his last entry in the log. I think it was a follow-up to your report of sighting the burning ship back at the 200-year mark. It unhinged him, and I think I know why. Joe... John wrote in the log, and I quote, "Of all the things of which I've thought, of all the things for which I've planned, that which was most evident I did not see." John's sensitive, Joe, as you know, and too sensitive for his own good. And what he read into your report, well, it obviously unhinged him. And now I think I know why. Joe, I've been in touch with the inhabited planets of Proxima Centauri. Can you stand a shock, Joe? Nod very slightly if you can take it. Good. Joe, the inhabitants of the Centauri planets speak English.
It was a struggle to hold myself on my couch until the impassive massagers had brought me back to life. But after what seemed like another 5 centuries, they were done with me. And I could escape with Peter to the control room. The radio equipment was alive, humming and crackling, and the space waves were filled with an odd but identifiable English. Then as I watched, Peter Endicott picked up the microphone and spoke.
Proxima A, Proxima A, this is Starship Far Centaurus. Do you read?
Far Centaurus from Proxima A, we read you. We read you. What is your message for Proxima A?
Proxima A from Far Centaurus. Another member of our crew, Williams, has emerged from the drug sleep. I ask that you tell him your story as you told it to me. Over.
Mr. Williams, welcome to the Centaurus system. You will be happy to know that there is a planet named for you. Of the 3 planets, one has been named Pelham, another Endicott, and for you, Mr. Williams, there is a small green and gold beauty, the 5th out from the parent star, with 2 encircling moons, called Williams. You will be welcome on Williams, Mr. Williams.
What? What's he say?
Listen, Joe. You'll get all the answers if you can take them.
Tell that guy to keep talking.
Understood, Proxima A. Please continue.
For the benefit of Mr. Williams, I will elaborate. Man is here on the worlds of Centaurus. Man now colonizes the systems of Sirius, Aldebaran, Antares, Polaris, Procyon, and Denebola. We have been here for 450 Earth years, Mr. Williams, ever since the successful star drive was discovered. 50 years after you and your ship left Earth.
What? Oh, no.
And there's more, Joe.
Mr. Williams, the voyage from Earth to Centaurus now takes but 3 hours Earth time. We have 14 regular runs per day to the parent planet.
Ask him about the ship. The burning ship, 300 years ago.
All right, Joe. Proxima A, Mr. Williams would like to know of the ship that burned up in the spaceways, the ship he saw.
Ah, yes, the Jean, one of our space liners. She was in space warp when she crossed your trajectory at velocities in excess of the speed of light. She was so close that she stood no chance. Her reactors exploded and she was lost in space. You must not hold yourselves responsible for this. It was not your fault. We have learned by this tragic mistake. Now, because of certain steps taken, there can be no recurrence, Mr. Williams. Mr. Endicott has already told us of the strange affliction which has struck down your commander, Mr. Pelham. You may be pleased to know that our medical science will be able to cure Mr. Pelham, and that there will be no possibility of a relapse. It is a very simple operation. One of our ships is on the point of liftoff now to rendezvous with you. For you, the journey remaining is still some 4 weeks in Earth time. The escort ship will be alongside you in some 10 minutes. Arrangements will be made to transfer Mr. Pelham on board the escort ship for immediate treatment of his slight malady. In the meantime, welcome to Centaurus. The three worlds of our system wait to fleet you, as they have done for 450 Earth years.
500 years in space for what? To find that the people we left behind when we set out were already here and back again. Before I even woke from the first sleep.
Remember what John wrote in the log? That which was most evident I did not see. Joe. John, mad or not, was absolutely right. In all our endeavors, how could we overlook human progress?
You to listen again next week to another story in this dramatic series, The Challenge of Space.